For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is February the 20th, and we are in Treyasa, we're in Yoel, Perek Beis. It is Motzi Shushan Purim Katan. So we had talked about last time how the Klal Yisrael was going to be attacked by these locusts. So we continue in that vein. Tiku shofar b'tzion, blow the shofar in Tzion, v'hariu b'har kadshi, and make noise, make a trua on the mountain of my Kodesh mountain. Yirgazu kol yoshvei ha'aretz, all those who dwell in the land should tremble. Ki va yom Hashem, for the day of Hashem has come. Ki karo, for it is close. Yom Hashem here means the day of punishment that Hashem is bringing. Yom choshech va'afela, the day of darkness and very great darkness. Yom anan va'arafel, a day of clouds and thick clouds. B'shachar parus al heharim, kishachar parus al heharim, like the shachar, like daybreak, they, meaning the locusts, will be spread on the mountains. It'll look like the sun rising. Am rav va'atsum, a nation that is many and strong. It's referring to the locusts. Kamohu lonia min ha'olam, like this, there's never been from the whole world. It's never happened before. Va'acharav lo yosef, and afterwards it will not continue. Ad shnei dor vador, until all the years of all generations. So this is what we mentioned last time, that in this many locusts, there would never was, never will be. We mentioned last time that in Mitzrayim it was only one type. That one type was more than the single type, than all this, each of the single types here.
So the locust reference is from the
parak
before?
Yeah, that's right. Lefanav achla eish, in front of them, or it, the fire will consume. Va'acharav tilahet lehava, and afterwards, it'll also be fire that will, another word for fire that will consume. Rashi explains this is, it's not, there won't actually be fire, but it'll be as if a fire was there. They're gonna totally and utterly destroy everything as if it was destroyed by fire. Kigan Eden Haaretz Lefanav, before them the land would be like Gan Eden. The Acher of Midbar Shmama, and afterwards would be like a desolate desert. Gam Pleita Lo Haisalo, also there will be no escape from it. Everything will be destroyed. Kemari Susim Marehu, they will appear like horses, which means they'll come very quickly like horses. You won't be able to get away. Uchafarashim Keni Rutsun, and like the cavalry, they will run. Kekol mar kavos arashe heharim yirakedun, like the sound of chariots. Is that correct? The sound of chariots. Yeah. On the tops of the mountains, they will dance. Kekol lahav esh, like the sound of a burning fire, like a crackling fire. Ochla kash, that is consuming straw, makes a lot of noise. Ke'am atsum, like a powerful nation. Eruch milchama, that's arranged to fight, like an army that's arranged to fight. Mipanav yachilu amim, from before him or them, the nations will tremble. Kol panim kivtzu parur, all faces will be like the bottom of a pot, which means the faces will turn black like the bottom of a pot because of the fear and because of the suffering. Kigiborim yirutsun, they will run like strong ones. Ke'anshi milchama ya'alu choma, like the men of war, they will climb the wall. They'll come over a high wall. V'ish bidrachav yelechun, they're referring to the locusts, each man will go in his path, which means each locust will come in his own way. V'lo ye'abtun orchosam, and their paths will not be
entangled,
right? That is, they won't get in each other's way. Sometimes when you have a multitude, they kind of trip over their own feet and trip over each other. That's not going to happen here. Each one, his brother, will not will not push each other. Gever bimsilaso yelechun, each one will go in his path. Uva'ad hashalach yipolu lo yivtzou. And in front of the shalach. Now shalach has different meanings. One meaning is in front of the sword, they will throw themselves, which doesn't mean they'll be killed. It means that they'll be willing to fight against the sword. Lo yivtzou, they will not be able to be bought off. You won't be able to get them to pay them to leave. They're going to attack and nothing will stop them. Bo'ir yashoku, in the city they will make a lot of noise. Bachoma yirutsun, against the wall they will run. Babatim ya'alu, they will go up against the houses. Ba'ana chalonim yavou kaganov, in the windows they will come like a thief. Lefon of rugs, the eretz, in front of him or them, the land will shake. Rashu, hey, look at that. Rashu shamayim, the heavens will thunder. Right, there you go. Shemesh v'yareach kadaru, the sun and the moon will be covered up. V'chochavim asfu nagham, and the stars will gather in their light. They're gonna be so thick. They're going to cover the sky. You won't be able to see anything. So here we have so this is all about this. You see how poetic it is and how much he's emphasizing every aspect of how these locusts are going to come, and there's no escape, and it's going to be worse than an army. They're going to make noise, it's going to be frightening, and they really are going to devastate everything. We continue in that mode, but from this pasuk on, from the word Vahashem, is the continuation of the Haftarah for Shabbos Shuvah. We mentioned before that the end of Hosea, which begins Shuvah Yisrael, is the beginning of the Haftarah for Shabbos Shuvah. When you get to the end of Hosea, that Haftarah, then the one who has the Haftarah skips the beginning of Yoel and starts this pasuk here from Vahashem. So this is in now we are going to be reading from that which is read on Shabbos Shuvah. Vahashem nasan kolo lifnei chelo. Hashem put his voice in front of his army, meaning it's going to be very loud. Ki rav ma'od machaneu, because his army is very great. Ki atzumo se devaro, for they are strong, those who do his will. Ki gadol yom Hashem, for it is great, the day of Hashem, meaning day of punishment. V'noro ma'od, and it is very fearful. Umi yechilenu, and who will be able to outlast it, who will be able to live through it, who will be able to end it. V'gamatanu Hashem. Now, here's why we read it on Shabbos Shuvah, because now it says, V'gamatanu Hashem, and even now Hashem says, Shuvu adai b'chol avavchem, return to me with all your heart. Uvitzom, uvivchi, uvimispeid, and with fasting, and with crying, and with eulogy. V'kiru levavchem v'al bigdeichem, tear your hearts and not your clothing. V'shuvu el Hashem elokeichem, and return to Hashem your God. Ki chanun v'rachum hu, for he is merciful. Erech apayv rav chesed, he is slow to anger and full of kindness. V'nicham al hara'ah, and he changes his mind over the evil. He's willing to have an achama and do differently. So as this terrible punishment is happening due to shuva, because that is the purpose of all of this. When it says, tear your hearts and not your clothing, so the simple meaning is Hashem is saying, I'm not interested in your torn clothing, I'm interested in you tearing your hearts. But the other explanation is, tear your hearts so that you will not have to tear your clothing. Because one tears one's clothing in mourning, and rather than endure that, tear your heart before that has to happen. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, Miodea, whoever knows about their sins, Yashuv v'nicham, they should do tshuva, and they should regret their sins. V'hishir acharav bracha, so that there will be bracha left after him. Mincha v'nesech, a meal offering, and nesech is the pouring of the wine. La'ashem elokechem, for Hashem your God, because you'll recall that in Perek Aleph, part of what was said is that not only will there be no food for people to eat, but there'll be nothing to be used in the Beis HaMikdash either, that the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash would grind to a halt because there'd be nothing to offer in the Beis HaMikdash. So if we do tshuva, then everything will come back, and there will be mincha and nesech in the Beis HaMikdash. Tiku shofar b'tzion, blow the shofar in Sion. Kadshut Som, sanctify a fast day. Kiru Atzara, call a gathering. Let there be a time of gathering together in order to do teshuvah. Now, here we have, as was mentioned already, in the beginning of Perek Beis was Tiku Shofar B'Tzion, blow the shofar in Tzion, and here we also have Tiku Shofar B'Tzion. In Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Tezvav, same words. In Pasuk Aleph was blow the shofar to herald the punishment, to announce the coming of the locusts. Here, it's blow the shofar in order that people do teshuva. The shofar, as we know, has different different symbolism. And when we blow it on Rosh Hashanah, we are bringing out all the symbolisms of the shofar. So here, the shofar you see has it's two sides of the same coin. The shofar is a terrifying sound because it's a siren. That's what it is. So it means that there's something bad. So it can mean something bad is happening, and it can mean to get everyone to do tshuva to prevent the bad from happening or to remove the bad from upon us. The shofar does both things.
That pasuk, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Shmini Atzeres.
Is which pasuk? Oh, because it says Tiku Shofar B'Tzion, Katshu Tzion. Very good. That's very.
What it is?
I don't know. That's very nice. I didn't think of that.
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Very good. Rosh Hashanah from the shofar, Katshu Tzion is Yom Kippur, and Atzara would be Shmini Atzeres. Very nice. That's a nice shot. Very good. Very good. It could be the Medrash says that. I don't know. Very nice. The shofar Rosh Hashanah is the instrument of din of Hashem. The shofar is a symbol of din. It's a symbol of judgment. Yet we blow the shofar to get Hashem to move from his kisei shel din to his kisei shel rachim. So he should get up from the kisei of din, so to speak, kibiyachol, and sit kibiyachol on the kisei of rachamim. So it seems to be contradictory. Why would we blow a shofar, which is the instrument of din, to try to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to move to his kisei shel rachamim? It seems counterintuitive. But that's because the shofar does both things. Because even though it is the instrument of din, it also gets us to recognize the seriousness of the day and the seriousness of our lives. And we do tshuva, and that causes Hashem to move to the kisei shel rachim. That is one pshat in how it works. Pasuk Dezayin, verse 16, Isfu am, gather the nation, kadshu kahol, sanctify the congregation, kivtsu zekenim, gather the elders, Isfu olalim, gather the young people, the children, vion keshadayim, and even those who are nursing, the babies. Yetzin chasan mechedro v'chala mechupasa, even the chasan should come out from his room, and the kala from her chupa, meaning everybody should stop what they're doing in order to do tshuva. Bein ha'ulam v'lam mizbeach, between the ulam was the entranceway of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the mizbeach here means the outer mizbeach. The mizbeach was outside, the ulam is the beginning of the entrance to the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. As the mizbeach, when you're entering from the east side, remember the Beis HaMikdash goes east to west. When you enter from the east side, so as you move further and further into the compound of the Beis HaMikdash, you come to the mizbeach first. After the mizbeach comes the ulam. There's a space, some area, and then it comes the ulam itself, comes the entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash. So between the ulam and the mizbeach, yivku ha-kohanim, the kohanim will cry, mishorsi Hashem, those who serve Hashem, v'yomer, they should say, this is a famous pasuk, it's in our davening, chusa Hashem al amecha, Hashem, you should have mercy on your nation, v'al titein nachalas chalacher palim shalom goyim, and do not give your nachala, your inheritance, to be shamed that the goyim should rule over them, lama yomru v'amim, why should they say amongst the nations, ayye elokeim, where is their God? So we ask Hashem, we beseech Hashem to, that Kohanim should cry and beseech Hashem to stop the terrible plague. So the pasuk says that they did teshuva, vayakane Hashem la'artzo, vayachmol alamo, Hashem was, zealous for his land, and he had mercy on his nation. Vayan Hashem, vayomer la'amon, Hashem called out, and he said to his nation, "Hinani shalech lachem es hadagon v'atirosh v'yitzar. I will now send you the grain and the wine and the oil. Usfatemo, so you will be satiated by it. V'lo'atenezchem od cherpa v'agoyim. I will no longer make you ashamed amongst the nation for not having any food. V'es hatzefoni archik me'alechem, and the tzefoni means the is referring, the simple meaning is to the locusts, that I will distance them from upon you. I will push them away to a land of nothingness and desolation. I will throw them out of Eretz Yisrael. As panav el hayam kadmoni, their face, meaning the front, the front end of the locust plague, I will push into the eastern sea. V'sofu el hayam acharon, and the end of the plague, meaning the other side of the plague, the other locust on the other side, I'll push into the western sea. V'alav ashov v'sal tachanaso, and his stench will come up, and its rotting will come up. Ki higdil asos, because it has done so much evil in the land, so I will push it away. This pasuk chaf is, again, it's referring simple meaning to the locusts. However, we are going to have a gemara that is going to tell us that this entire pasuk is referring to the yetzer hara. It is referring specifically to the yetzer hara. Hopefully, we'll have time, and I will read you that gemara. Pasuk chaf verse 21. Al tiri adama, do not be afraid, the land. Gili usmachi, rather you should be joyous and happy. Ki gdil Hashem la'asos, for Hashem has done great to save you. Here again, we have the same words in the two psukim. At the end of chaf aleph, we have ki gdil la'asos, and here we have ki gdil Hashem la'asos. It means they've done a great or a big thing. But in the first pasuk, it's referring to the locusts with a big thing, meaning big destruction. And here Hashem has done an equally big thing in saving you. Al tiru bamos sadai, don't be afraid, the animals of the field. Kidashu naos midbar, for there is now grazing land. Now, because dashu is from the word desha, it's become
covered with grass.
Covered with grass, right? That's the pure technical term, right? living places of the midbar, which is the grazing lands. Ki eitz nasa furio, for the tree has carried its fruit. Teinav agefen nasnu chelam, the fig tree and the vine have carried their strength, their which means their fruits. One of the brachos that we have for the future is that the Gemara tells us that in the future, even the non-fruit-bearing trees in Eretz Yisrael will bear fruit. That's going to be one of the brachos in the future, that even non-fruit-bearing trees will have fruit, will have edible fruit. It is derived from here. Ki eitz nasa firio, a tree which normally has no fruit, will carry fruit. That is one of the references to that future bracha. Pasuk of Gimel uvnei Tzion gilu v'simchu b'Hashem Elokeichem, b'nei Tzion, be happy and joyous in Hashem your God. Ki nasa lachem es ha-more litzdaka, because he brought you the more. Now more, you know from Kriyas Shema that there's two reigns in Eretz Yisrael, more and Malkosh, Yore and Malkosh. Now there, which means there's two distinct rainy periods in the rainy season. Yore is the first one, Malkosh is the later one, and evidently in the growing cycle of Eretz Yisrael, you need both those rains. You need Yore, the early rains, and Malkosh, the later rains. So Hashem has brought for you the Moreh, which is the early rains, as litzdaka for righteousness. Vayored lachem geshem Moreh Malkosh barishon, and he brought down for you rain, both the early rains and the late rains, barishon in Nisan. Now the word Moreh here is repeated. It says he brought you the Moreh, and then it says he brought you Moreh and Malkosh. Therefore, Chazal tell us, Moreh here, the first time it says Moreh in the Pasuk, refers to the Nevi'im. It refers to the prophets. Hashem brought you those who are Moreh, from the word teacher. Those who lead you or teach you to do tzedakah, to do righteousness. And because of that, Hashem will bring you rain, or brought you rain, the early rains and the late rains in Rishon in Nisan. Now that does not fit the normal pattern of the seasons. Normally it does not rain in Nisan, it rains in Cheshvan and throughout the rainy season in the winter. In Nisan, it's not supposed to rain. In fact, normally it's a simen klala, it's a curse for it to rain in Nisan, because in Nisan, if it rains then, it ruins whatever may have grown throughout the winter. You may remember back in Sefer Shmuel, that when Shmuel wanted to show the people that they had done wrong, and he wanted to show them the power of the Navi, that they had done wrong for asking for a king, he said to them, it's Nisan, halo kitzir chitim hayom, it's the time to actually harvest the wheat, and yet I will make it rain to show them that they should never have given up on the Navi and asked for a king at that time. So here, though, it's a bracha that it rains in Nisan, both the early and late rains. Again, hopefully we will share a Gemara that says what happened in this story over here, a very fascinating story that elaborates on the Nisim that happened over here after the ravaging of the locusts. Umalu agironos bar, and the granaries will be filled with produce. And the yikavim, that's where you that's the vats for the wine and oil. They will become filled with wine and oil. Veheshiku means they will become noisy as the wine and oil flows into the vats. Vishilamti lachem es hashanim, I will pay back for you the years. Asher achal ha'arbe hayelek vehechasil vehagazam, that the four types of locusts consumed. It was not a one-time thing. It was a seven-year plague in which the food was devastated by these locusts. It seems like it got worse and worse as time went on. Cheli hagadol, my great army, asher shilachti vachem, that I sent against you. So I will pay you back. V'achaltem achol v'savo, you will eat and be satiated. V'hilaltem es shem Hashem Elokeichem, and you will praise the name of Hashem your God. Asher asayim achem lahafli, that He did for you in wondrous ways. V'lo yevoshu ami le'olam, my nation will not be shamed forever. V'datem ki bekerav Yisrael ani, you will know that I am in the midst of the Jews, v'ani Hashem Elokeichem, ve'inod, I am Hashem your God, there is no other, v'lo yevoshu ami le'olam, and my nation will not be shamed forever. On Shabbos Shuva, when we get to here, we again pause, and read, this is the end of the reading of Yoel, and we skip ahead to the end of Sefer Micha. There's actually three different parts of Treyasa that are read on Shabbos Shuva. The first one is the end of Hosea, the second one is what we just read in Yoel, and the third is the end of Micha. The end of Micha, the psukim that you are familiar with, Mikael Kamocha, Nosei Avonu Aver HaPesha, those psukim are added at the end of Shabbos, of the leaning for Shabbos Shuva. So the Navi describes how after all the terrible plague, then there's going to be a huge salvation. We are going to do tshuva. Hashem is calling for us to do tshuva. We do tshuva. They did tshuva, and then they are saved, and not only are they saved, but all the grain, they are given huge bracha in the growth of all the grain. The Gemara Maseches Tainus tells us how bad this plague was, this seven-year plague. The Gemara tells us Amar Rav Nachman l'Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchak, "My dechsev." What does it mean when it says in the pasuk in Malachim, in the days of Yehoram ben Achav, which is when the 7 years of famine was? Remember, there were two opinions when this happened. This is one of the opinions. The pasuk says over there, "Kikara Hashem la ra'av." Hashem called to the famine. "V'gamboya la'aretz sheva shanim." It will come to the land for 7 years. So he said to him, "Bahanach sheva shanim my achu." What do they eat during those 7 years? Amar Lei. So he said to him, "Hachi Amar of Yochanan, so said of Yochanan." This is not going to be pleasant. Shanari Shona, the first year, Achlu Masha Babatim, they ate whatever was in their houses, because nothing grew in the land. Shnia, the second year, Achlu Masha Besados, they ate whatever was left in the land, whatever they could find, they could, you know, search around and find whatever they could find in the fields. Shlishis, in the third year, Basar Behema Tahora. They ate the flesh of kosher animals. They slaughtered their animals and ate them because there was nothing to feed the animals anyway. Revias, in the fourth year, Basar Behema Tmeya, they ate the flesh of the non-kosher animals. There was nothing else to eat. Chamishis, Basar, Shkatsim, or Ramasim, in the fifth year, they ate the bugs because there was nothing else to eat. In the sixth year, the Shishis, the sixth year, this is one of the curses from the Tochacha, Basar Benem of Noseham, they ate the flesh of the children who had died, because there was nothing to eat. And finally, if you can think of something more gruesome, Shvius, in the seventh year, Basar Zro Oseihem, they ate the flesh of their own limbs that had fallen off. As the Pasuk says, Ish Bisar Zero Yochelu, each man shall eat the flesh of his own limbs. That's how bad it was. The famine was huge. It was just really, really terrible. When Hashem turned things around because of our tshuva, and you see how much it took for us to do tshuva. We didn't do tshuva right in the beginning. It took a very long time, and then finally everybody did tshuva. So then it says this pasuk of that he brought down the rain, Mora Umalkosh Barishon. He brought the early rains and the late rains in Nisan. So the Gemara says as follows. Bimei Yoel ben Pesuel Niskai Mikrazeh. This happened, of course, in the days of Yoel ben Pesuel, our Yoel. Dechsiv Bey, as it says in Yoel, Yes, Ha'gazamachal Ha'arbe, that all that was left over by one type of locust was eaten by the other type of locust. Osa Shana, that year, when we finally did Tshuva, Yatsa Adar passed, V'lo Yardu Geshamim, and it did not rain. It hadn't rained. The locusts had consumed everything. There was no rain. So, Yardo Lahem Revia Rishona Be'echa B'Nisan. So the early rains fell on the first day of Nisan. That was the first rain they got that year. Amar Lahem Navi Li Yisrael. So the Navi said to Yisrael, which I assume is Yoel, said to Yisrael, although Yoel wasn't the only Navi at the time. Elisha was alive at the time. There were other Nevi'im, but apparently it was Yoel. Su Vizaru, go out and plant. Now, when you plant, normally, you have to take food and put it in the ground. You have to take grain and put it in the ground in the hopes that it will yield more grain. That's the point of planting things. But there is a temporary setback because you're taking food that you could have eaten and you're going to put it in the ground. So it's one thing when there's an abundance of food to take some of it and put it in the ground to grow. But if there's nothing to eat, it's very difficult to take what you have and put it in the ground. So Amru Lo, they said to him, Mi sheyesh lo kav chitim o kavayim sarim, someone who has one kav of wheat or two kav of barley, very little, yochlenu v'yichya, should he eat it and try to live? O yizranu v'yamus, or should he plant it and die because there'll be nothing to eat? Amru Lahem, he said to him, af al pikein, even so, tsu v'zaru, go out and plant. Now, you're talking about people who had done so many averos, but you see that their tshuva was sincere. Because they listened to him. This was a big test. After all that was done, and now they're doing tshuva, but now they have to show emuna before anything came from their teshuva. There was no, it rained once, but there was nothing to eat. So the rain, the first rain, showed them that things are turning around. But they had to take still the initiative and say, we trust in Hashem and believe what his Navi tells us to take the remaining food we haven't put in the ground. Nasa lehem nesa, a miracle happened to them, and isgamal lehem mashabiksolin umashabichori namolim. And it was revealed to them that which was in the walls and that which was in the holes of the ants. Rashi explains that they took whatever they had and put it in the ground, and then Hashem revealed for them the grain that was hidden by the mice in the walls and in the ant holes that the ants had hidden. And those grains were intact. And they were able to take those and eat them. And they were able to live on that until something grew. Yatsu v'zaru sheni u'shlishi revi. They went and they planted on the 2nd of Nisan, the 3rd of Nisan, and the 4th of Nisan. V'yard olam revi ashniya. And then the second rains came down. The first rains on the 1st of Nisan, and then the second rains, the Chamish of Nisan, on the 5th of Nisan. And then, there's a very important thing besides for eating, us eating of course, but there's an important carbon that needs grain to grow. He krivu omer, they brought the carbon omer, b'shisha asar b'nisan on the 16th of Nisan. 11 days later, there was full grown barley that they were able to bring as the carbon omer. Nimtzeis, it came out, Tevua ha-gedela b'shisha chadashim, grain that normally grows in 6 months, gedela b'acharas ha-yom, grew in 11 days. Nimzad came out, omer ha-karev mitfua shalshisha chadashim, the omer which is brought normally from grain having grown for 6 months, karav mitfua shalachadas ha-yom was grown from grain that was grown in 11 days. V'aloso hador hu omer, and about that generation it says the following pasuk. You may find this pasuk somewhat familiar. Hazorim bedima berina yiktsoru, those who plant or sow in with tears, they will reap with joy. That is reference to this story that we are in the middle of right now. They were planting in tears because they were planting the very last food they had. They had nothing left. There was absolutely nothing in the cupboard. And they put the grain in the ground because they listened to the Navi. And they cried as they were doing it. They were afraid. They were scared. And then when they reaped the grain 11 days later, it was with great joy. Holoch yelech uvacho nosei meshech hazara. They go and crying, while they're crying, carrying the seeds. And then it's, so the Gemara says, what does that mean? My holoch yelech uvacho nosei meshech, etc. Boyav overino. What is the rest of the psukim saying? Amr of Yehuda, the Yehuda says, Shor, the bull, Kishu Choresh, when he was plowing, if you're going to ask, there was no bull. They ate all the kosher animals. That would be a good question on the story.
Okay, but same with the mice in the grain. Because if it's in the, well, the year, where
some of them might have gotten away. Some of them might have gotten away. You know, they got away. That I can understand, but there shouldn't be any bulls.
Where's the grain to plant with?
Yeah, no, that, right.
It's in the seventh year, the grain was gone many years before.
Yeah, yeah. There must have been some, you know, some little bits that he could find. You know, there was, right. So, Kishu Choresh, when he was planting, Holech, we hear also as well, I assume that Hashem brought bulls from someplace else, showed up. So as the bull was pulling the plow, when he was plowing, Holech Uboche, it would go and cry because there was nothing to feed the bull. Uvachazirasso, and when it would come back, you know, because you have to go up and back along the rows, the furrows. As it came back, ochel chaziz minatelem, it would eat the little sprouts from the furrow. Meaning that's how quickly the little sprouts grew, so that there was food even for the animals as they returned with the plows. Vizehu, that's what it means, bo yavo verina, it will come back with joy. It goes as it is crying, that's referring to the animal, comes back with great joy. My nose alumosav, what is the last words? And nose carrying alumosav, its stalks, its sheaves of wheat. Amr of Chizda, said, v'amri lo b'masnisa tana, some say it's taught in a braisa. Kana zeres, the stalk of the grain was one zeres long, it's a measurement. Shiboles zersayim, and the sheave of wheat was two zereses, meaning that the part of the stalk of the wheat that has no grain growing. If you look at a regular amber waves of grain, the whole bottom of it doesn't have any wheat growing from it. It's the top part that has the wheat growing from it. So normally the bottom part, which doesn't have any wheat, is three or four times longer, bigger than the little part at the top that has the wheat growing from it. But here, the part that did not have any wheat growing from it was half the size of the part that did have wheat growing from it. The part of wheat growing from it was double the size of the part that did not grow any wheat. That's what it means. One zeres of kane of stalk and two zereses of shiboles of the sheaves of wheat. Okay. So that is what happened over here. So there were huge nisim in the way that the grain grew. And the Jews were saved. As I mentioned to you, though, that in this discussion, we'll turn to that Pasuk again, but in this discussion, in Pasuk Chaf, in verse 20, it says that as we do teshuva, not only will we be saved physically, as it says that the Hashem will remove the locusts, but Besatzifoni Archik Me'alechem, I will remove the tzifoni from upon you, which the simple meaning is the locusts, but there's a deeper meaning that it means the Yetzihara itself, that the tshuva will enable us to actually have the Yetzihara removed from us. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us on Daf Nun Beis, the Gemara says the different Nevi'im refer to the Yetzihara with different titles. They called it different things. So it says here that Yoel called the Yetzirah the Tzifoni. Tzafun means what in the Seder? When we say Tzafun Barech.
The end.
So it doesn't really mean the end. Oh. Tzafun, it means hidden. That's what it means, because the Afikoman was hidden away. So that's why it's called tsafun, because you hid it away. So you, now you take it and you eat it. That's why it's, so tsafun can mean hidden. It also means north, tsafun, north. But here it also can mean hidden. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Now, if you look in the pasuk, the Gemara here is going to dissect the pasuk. Phrase by phrase, it's going to parse it. The hidden thing I will distance from upon you. This is referring to the Yetzirah. Shet Safun va'omed belibo shel adam, which is hidden and is standing in the heart of man. And all of us have a Yetzirah. It's in there somewhere. It's there. The next part of the pasuk says, "V'hidachtiv el eretz tzia ushmama." I will push it away to a desolate place, a desolate land. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Lamakom she'ein b'nei adam mitzuyim liskaros bahen. To a place where there are no people found for the Yetzirah to attack. I will throw the Yetzirah away and make it go to a place where there is no people for it to start up with. Es panav elayam kadmoni, his face, the face of the Yetzirah was to the eastern sea. What does that mean? Shenasan Einav B'Mikdash Rishon, that the Yetzirah put his eyes on the first Beis HaMikdash, Ve'echerivo, and destroyed it. Ve'harag Talmidei Chachamim Shebo, and he killed the Talmidei Chachamim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it means. Es Panav El Hayam HaKadmoni, the Yam HaKadmoni is referring to the first Beis HaMikdash, the earlier Yam, the earlier ocean, the earlier Beis HaMikdash. And then he, the Yetzirah, put his face to it and destroyed it and killed the Talmidei Chachamim. V'sofo al hayam ha'acharon, in the end, he turned his attention to the ending sea. What does that mean? Shenas aneinav v'mikdash sheni v'acharivo. He put his eyes on the second Beis HaMikdash and destroyed it. V'harag talmidei chacham shavo, and killed the talmidei chacham that were in the second Beis HaMikdash. V'olavasho v'tal tzachanoso, and his stench and his rotting came up. What does that mean? Sheminiach umos ha'olam. Why is does he have a stench, the Yetzirah? Because he leaves the nations of the world alone. Umizgare besoneim shel Yisrael. And instead he starts up with the Jews. The Gemara frequently uses a euphemism for Jews as the enemies of the Jews, but it really means the Jews. And he starts up with the Jews rather than with the nations of the world. The Yetzirah attacks the Jews. Kihigdil lasos, because he, the Yetzirah, does things in a big way. What does that mean? Amar Abaye, uvetalmidei chachamim yoser mikulam, the Yetzirah attacks the talmidei chachamim more than anybody else. The Yetzirah, counter to what most people think, the Yetzirah is more of a powerful adversary against the Jews than against the non-Jews, and within the Jews against the Talmidei Chachamim more than anybody else. The Yetzirah's most powerful attacks come against those that he wants to stop more than anything else. He wants to stop us more than he wants to stop the non-Jews, because we're the ones who are bringing the world to its shlemus, to its fruition, and we're the ones that he wants to stop. He knows that the non-Jews aren't really the main characters in what is happening in this world, and he wants to stop us. And among us, the Talmidei Chacham are the ones leading us and guiding us, so he knows he has to stop the Talmidei Chacham. And therefore, the Yetzirah's strongest attacks are against the Talmidei Chachamim. And the Gemara illustrates this with a story. A fascinating story. It is not a frightening story, and it is not a dramatic story, but nonetheless, it is a fascinating story which is rarely told, except for people who read the Gemara, but it's one that you rarely hear. It's not the kind of thing you would hear, let's say, in a talk from a speaker. But it's a fascinating Gemara, a story. Kihada Abaye, like this story of Abaye. Shamei Lehahu Gavra, he heard a man, Deka'amar Lahi Itasa, that he said to a woman, Nakdim, let us get up early, V'nezel Ba'urcha, and we will go on the road. These two people, this man and woman, were not married to each other. It seems that they were single. It does not seem that they were married to somebody else. It doesn't seem like it was a problem of Ashes Ish, of a married woman. However, they needed to travel, and he said to her, let's get up early and we'll travel together. We'll go together where we have to go. They're traveling by foot. It's not safe to travel the roads. We'll go together. We'll go together. So Abaye said, Amar, he said to himself, Izil, I will go, afreshinu me'isura, and I will distance them from Isser, meaning I'll go behind them, I'll walk a distance behind them, to ensure that they do not end up doing an Avera. So I'll be the chaperone, meaning they won't necessarily know that he's there, but he'll be there in the distance, and he'll be, you know, as long as you know people are coming up the road, so that tends to keep people from doing anything they're not supposed to do. So Abaye said, I'll be that person. So Abaye was not planning on traveling, but he traveled. Now, before we read any further, note that Abaye does not go over to them and say, you can't do this. So evidently Abaye did not feel that they would listen to him. We're not talking about two people who are God-fearing, well, I don't want to say they weren't. They weren't Shomer Shabbos. But you see, they were people who were not predisposed to listening to Abaye. That's what you see about this. Okay. So he says, "I'm going to go behind them and make sure they don't do anything wrong." Azal Basrayu. He went behind them. Tlasa Parsi for three parsa. A parsa is for mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer. So three parsa is approximately 12 kilometers. So let's call that 8 miles, something like that. So he went behind them for that distance. Ba'agma, in a, an agam could be a swamp. It doesn't mean a swamp. It means an unsettled area. Place where people didn't live. Now, the halachos of yichud, of being in seclusion, apply even when you're outside, if you're in a place that's completely bereft of anybody else. If it's a totally empty area, there can be yichud there, even though you're not in a building. So they were in a place where they really should not have been alone. And Abaye was behind them.
Then it wasn't yichud.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if they knew Abaye was there. It doesn't appear they knew he was there. But maybe they knew somebody was there. I don't know.
His point was that if you said that it might delay people from doing the wrong thing if someone is there.
Right.
So
right. Right. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they knew he was there or not. But here's the thing. Kiavu Parsh, Kiavu Parshi Mehadadi, when they were leaving each other, so they had walked together for 8 miles, and now they got to the crossroads, and she had to go one way, and he had to go the other way. So when they were they got to a place where they had to separate. Shaminu, he heard them, so he got close enough to hear. The Ka'amri, that they said the following. Urkin Rechika, our distance is long. We still have a long way to travel. Vitzavsin Besima, and our company, Samson means our company, Besima. Basim means it's sweet. Our company is sweet. It's nice that we're keeping each other company. And then they parted. And that was it. That was it. They parted. Amar Abaye said, Iman desani li hava, if that person would have been the person who hates me, he means himself. Again, he's using a euphemism for himself. If it would have been me, if I would have been the one there, lo hava matzi lu'ukmi nafshe, I would not have been able to stop myself. I would not have been able to handle that nisayon, that challenge. I would not have been able to let her go. So Abaye felt depressed because he felt like here, this person who's obviously not the most God-fearing Jew, and he was able to walk away from her, and yet Abaye says, I know I never would have been able to handle it. Azal talanav shebibur dadashi went and he hung his head in the entrance of the doorway. You imagine a person like, you know, on the doorway like this. He looks like he's just, you know, he's sabrach and he's depressed. Umitzdar, he was in pain. Asa hu saba, this elderly man came frequently in the Gemara when it says hahu saba, it's referring to Eliyahu Hanavi. So this elderly man came. Tonalei, and he taught Abaye the following brisa. Kol ha-gadol me-chavero, anybody who is greater than his friend, yitzro gadol he-menu, his yitzahara is commensurately greater. And that made Abaye feel better because he was telling Abaye, of course you wouldn't have been able to handle it because you're greater. You're a huge Talmud Chacham. And if you're a huge Talmud Chacham, you have a greater yitzahara. Now, what does that mean? That the Yetzirah is greater for Abaye. Does that mean that Abaye spent his days struggling with the Yetzirah? Then, what is that? It doesn't appear that way. It doesn't look like the great Talmidei Chacham are struggling with the same petty Yetzirahs that we struggle with. Everybody has the Yetzirah, of course, but they're on a different plane. I mean, they're not dealing with our pettiness. So, you can understand this two ways. One way doesn't fit the story so well, and the other way does. One way, which doesn't fit the story so well, is that the struggles that the great ones have on their level are more difficult struggles than we have on our level. Meaning the basic petty yetzirahs that we struggle with, and they are big struggles for us, but they're even bigger struggles for them, meaning that the things that they struggle with, the subtleties that we've spoken about many times, that the averus of the great ones are very subtle. And they're the David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech, all these great people, and they're struggling on a level that we don't struggle. Those struggles are actually more difficult than ours are, because they're so much greater. That's one way to understand it. But another way to understand it is the following, that the reason why Abaye didn't have to normally fight that type of Yetzirah is because Abaye, being the Talmud Chacham that he was careful not to put himself in these situations, because we're not supposed to put ourselves in these situations. And the great Talmidei Chachamim would keep themselves away. As they grow and as they become greater, they make sure they stay away from situations of temptation, and therefore they don't struggle with those types of yetzirahs, because they don't present themselves to them. But Abaye is saying, in a situation where I would be in that situation, if I would be in that circumstance, I know myself I wouldn't be able to handle it. That's what he's saying, because his yetzirah is so much greater that he knows that he really has to stay away. There is a Gemara. It's a little humorous. The Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim don't look at women. So a Talmud Chacham who has Erison, is betrothed, he has a woman who is betrothed to him, and now he has to go do Nisuin. So the problem is, he might not remember what she looks like, because they didn't date like we date today. So he saw her once, he doesn't really, right? So the Gemara says the Talmud Chacham should take an Am Haaretz with him, because the Am Haaretz will recognize the woman, because he does look at women. So he'll be able to tell him who the woman is. There's a Gemara like that. So it's somewhat humorous. But the question is, so what, it's okay for the Am Haaretz? It's not okay for the Am Haaretz. He really isn't supposed to, but he does. Okay. But the thing is that what the Gemara is saying over here is that it doesn't make it mutter. It's not okay for the Am Haaretz to do it. It's usher for both of them. But what it does to the Talmud Chacham is worse than what it does to the Am Haaretz, because the Talmud Chacham is on a bigger, higher level. Therefore, the Yetzirah is more dangerous for the Talmud Chacham than it is for the Am Haaretz. Again, it doesn't sanction. It doesn't mean it's okay. A person's not allowed to do an aver no matter what level they're on. But the way that the Yetzirah besets the Talmud Chacham is in a stronger, more powerful way than it does the Am Haaretz. This is good to know, because we all, Baruch Hashem, grow. We grow a lot. And we grow all the time. We are a growing people. That's Baruch Hashem. That's our focus. That's our lifelong focus. We are constantly growing. And sometimes we grow and we feel like we've really turned a corner. We've really moved ahead. We're really doing great. And then we get hit with the Yetzirah. Whatever the Yetzirah is, each one of us has our own Yetzirah. That's that thing that we really struggle with. Maybe several things that we really struggle with. Everybody's different. Something that's easy for you may be difficult for me. What's easy for me may be difficult for you. Everybody has different things they struggle with. So sometimes you feel like you turned a corner, you're doing well, and then all of a sudden you're like hit over the head, that like the Yetzirah just slams you, and whatever it is, I've been working on my temper for years, and I feel like I've really turned a corner, and then all of a sudden, boom, and I'm like, I'm seething with rage, and how did that happen? So it's good to know, the bigger we get, the Yetzirah gets stronger. When the Yetzirah hits you over the head, it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign that the Yetzirah knows that I got to get this person. This person is dangerous to me, to the Yetzirah. Yetzirah says, this person is bringing Mashiach. I can't let that happen. When you get hit hard with the Yetzirah, that's a sign of your strength. It is not a sign of your weakness. It is a sign that the Yetzirah knows that you need to be stopped. It can be very distressful when all of a sudden you get hit with that Yetzirah. But one should know that it is a sign of growth and of strength. It is not a sign of weakness. Yeah.
So why is that story brought here?
So it's brought here because as we are talking about the Klal Yisrael doing tshuva, so the tshuva not only brought the reversal of all the terrible things physically, but it also brought that Hashem would intervene against the Yetzer Hara. That the Yetzer Hara Hashem would step in and push the Yetzer Hara away from the Jewish people as part of the tshuva. As we are davening for Mashiach, one of the things that's going to happen when Mashiach comes is that the Yetzer Hara will be, it's unclear what the one thing will lead to another, what the sequence of events are, but the Yetzer Hara will be greatly diminished and eventually destroyed. That's what eventually will happen, which is incredibly liberating. Unfortunately, it also takes away the ability to earn schar, because the reward we get is for fighting the Yetzer Hara. But still, imagine being a person who is not beset by the Yetzer Hara, who can simply serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with all of our emotions, all of our strength, everything we have to be focused on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is what's going to happen, Lasse Lava. Yeah.
So here it says that the Yetzer Hara was sent away. So when does he come back to us?
This is talking about the future. That reference to the Yetzer Hara, the simple meaning is talking about the locust, that's talking about right then.
Okay.
But that it's going to be totally destroyed.
So
that's
why are
the
locusts put into two opposing bodies of water?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't get that.
Yeah, you mean for the simple meaning?
Yeah.
I assume it's because if you split Eretz Yisrael in half, it's the quickest way to get rid of them is to send them into the nearest body of water. I assume that's what it is.
You can just suck them up to Shemayim,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess it did it in the most natural way.
I mean, why does it have to be a body of water?
Because that's what I think the locusts, I don't know exactly how it works. I guess you have to be entomologist, right, to know. I do know, I told you last week, I do know about that story about the locusts that came out of the Indian Ocean and settled in Madagascar. So I don't know how they migrate, but apparently the water is part of it.
So according to this, the whole second part from then on is talking about after Mashiach comes? The
simple meaning is talking about right there, but the deeper meaning is talking about Mashiach.
But not only that pasuk, the whole rest of it.
Apparently, there's, you know, the references that have to do with the total destruction of the Yetzer Hara, that's in the future.
So yeah. The locusts at this time, and what this is referring to, is worse than it was in Mitzrayim.
So we talked about the last time, that Rashi and Chumash says, and Rashi here says the same thing, that one, for just Arba, was Mitzrayim was the biggest. But of the four together, Arbech, Seal, Gazam, and Yelek, those four together was bigger in the time of Yol. We talked about last time, what difference does it make? Like what, right? That was last year we discussed that.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.